that was so good. That was really, really good. All I know is she's filled with love. And they've been here since the beginning of the church. So praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay, the funniest part about, we didn't talk to each other. She was at prayer the other day and just saying all this stuff. I think we had a birthday party for, no, that was Bible study. Who knows? Who cares? We're always here. It's like, okay, Monday we don't come. Tuesday we have prayer. A lot of times we'll have coffee and something to eat afterwards. Then on Wednesday is church on Wednesday night. Thursday is Bible study. And yeah, we celebrated Sonia's birthday and had a regular lunch, luncheon. But I just said, all of a sudden I heard her kind of preaching to people or talking to people. And I said, why don't you take the offering on Sunday? And so she did, but I did not know that her, the main theme of what she wanted to talk about was the plan of God.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, guess what my sermon is? How to get in God's plan for you. Now, that's the Holy Spirit. And I'll just add a little bit more to it, because this could go on for a few weeks, this very series. But that is, you know, right now, if you've never been in the plan of God, it's time to get in what He wanted you to do. And just know what we were talking about. There's so many distractions. And it'll stop you. Go to Ephesians 2:10, Amplified Bible. I see my granddaughter's up there today. Hello, Alicia. She's behind the sound booth. She's being a star gymnast. I was going to say acrobat. A gymnast. She's got all kinds of medals and stuff. And amen. Okay, Ephesians 2:10 out of the Amplified. So here we are, placed in our mother's womb, and we come into the earth. And you know, you're a little spirit up there in heaven beforehand. So, Ephesians 2:10 says, and I'm going to go slow on this scripture, for we are God's own handiwork. Mm-hmm. You know, anybody ever do handiwork? Yeah. And you know, and you and all kinds of things could be handiwork, carpentry, embroidery, sewing, all that stuff. But you were specially God's handiwork, His workmanship. Then you got born again, you got recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew. Okay, I'm going to intersperse here. Is anybody cold?
Yeah.
I am just like freezing. Yeah. And I thought maybe it was because I was a little overtired. But it looks nice outside, but it's not. Okay, so we're God's own handiwork, His workmanship. And we were recreated in our spirits in Christ Jesus, born anew. Why? So we could do those good works which God actually predestined. He planned it beforehand for us. And He took a path which He prepared ahead of time. He actually walked out the path that you're supposed to be walking in. Now, let me tell you something, though. When you come to the earth, you're a little baby and you grow up. You know what? You've got a free will, though. And most people are not walking in that path that He prepared for you. Because if you were, honest to God, there would be no sickness in you. You would be have finances abundant. You know what? All kinds of things. Because that path is, it, I mean, you know, sickness will try to come on you. But he walked, let's just give you an example. He walked through the Red Sea before they ever did. And He did all these things before the foundations of the world. So He planned a path for you ahead of time so that you would walk in it. And then it says, living the good life, which He prearranged and made ready for you to live. Most people don't know that either. I didn't either. I didn't know that. See, because we were born again, we will go to heaven and be with our Father. But if the only purpose was to go to heaven, then why doesn't God just take us immediately? Really? You know what? But He left us on earth for a reason. Why? So He could fulfill His plan through us on the earth. Just like we were saying before. So, you know, no one can be fulfilled actually and happy until He knows the plan and you live it out. And some of us, I mean, I didn't know what His plan was for me. I can see, though, God will put you in all kinds of training grounds first. My folks wanted us all to go to college, so I have a Bachelor of Science degree in nursing. Graduated in 1962 from Creighton University. You know what? But I haven't done much of that, you know. So then went into nursing, and I thought, I really like teaching better. So, I mean, we started that school, and we were teaching them. And one of our kids homeschooled and graduated from our school and became a physician. And there's more lawyers. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that they became. Homeschooled. Well, we took over the kids when the parents couldn't, because both of us were good in math and English. You got math and English, you can do it. And I dared them to let us take a test on the state. Anyway, honest to God, would you know those two? You got it. But anyway, also worked at the YMCA for 14 years teaching. See, and that's where the teaching came in. I would go to a class, and they saw that I was faithful to the class, and one day they asked me to take it over because the teacher never showed up ever. And the next 14 years, I was working at the YMCA, making $15 an hour in 1970. Wow. I know. And I was like, I didn't even realize I had it made. But see, all those places were training God, because God knew that I had such like an inferiority complex about myself, or didn't want to stand in front of a crowd. And then, I mean, I had to stand in front of those women, and I saw, there was a time when I had 100 people in the class, and then I started the water class, too, there. But then after that was the homeschool. you could tell when I just didn't like it anymore, that, and then I didn't even like teaching, and she took over, kind of, but then I was supposed to be a pastor. And I finally came into what it was, like 14 years after I was born again. And I knew it. I even had Terry Pearson's of Kenneth Copeland's ministry tell me way back in the 80s that I would be preaching the gospel. So how can we know the plan, though? There's only one way, and that's by being in the presence of the Father, who prepared that plan. Because no one can tell you the plan for your life except God. Because He's the one who prepared it. And you know what? You know, in schools, the high school counselor, you know, and the parents try to map out a plan of success for your life. And then, you know, or you'll take a test and they'll tell you you're good at this and good at that. That doesn't make any difference. That might not even be the plan. Jesse Duplantis knew how to play every instrument there was. And he knows how to play the piano without, and then he also was like a started business when he was young, really young. So he was good at that. But that isn't what God wanted. God wanted him to preach the gospel to the world. He's an evangelist. So see, when did God prepare that plan for us? You know what? Before the foundations of this earth. Before He even created the earth, He knew you and He saw you. And He knew what you were supposed to do. Just see, God lives in an eternity which is free from the measure of time. So God prepared a plan for you before the foundations of the world. And he prepared for your life long before you were born. You know, and all these babies being aborted is horrible, because there's presidents, there's doctors and sciences and preachers and all kinds of wonderful people, even working other jobs that we need in the earth, that are being, you know, they're being aborted. But God had a plan for them too. Just one thing about it, know that they go straight to heaven. But before your body was ever born on the earth, your spirit was given an assignment, a plan to carry out. So see, in the eyes of God, you were already a spirit being. And in God's timing, he created a body for you and brought you to the earth. See, there's little spirit beings. Somebody said they had gone up to heaven, and they said, there's little spirits beings saying, let us go to earth, let us go to earth, let us go to earth. We want to go to earth. And he places those babies in somebody's womb to come, to fulfill his plan. Well, let's look at Psalm 139:15-16. The minute that baby is conceived, it is a human being.
Amen.
And that's what we need to pray over the United States, because there is literally a spirit of murder over the United States because of it. You saw Christina come in with her little baby and give him a microphone. And could you imagine that they let a baby like that, born at 9 months, if the mother wants it to die, they let it die. Oh, God. Starve it to death. It's horrible. Horrible. 15 and 16. And out of the Amplified. My frame was not hidden from you, from God, when I was being formed in secret and intricately and curiously wrought, as if embroidered with various colors in the depths of the earth, a region of darkness and mystery. Your eyes, God's eyes, saw my unformed substance, and in your book all the days of my life were written before ever they took shape, when as yet there was none of them. How precious, I'm going to read another one, and weighty also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. God, you know what? God right now is thinking, there's billions of people in the earth, but he's thinking thoughts about you because he loves you so much. There's another scripture. I'm not sure where it is right now, but it says that God's thoughts of you are as many as the sands of the sea. Isn't that something? In the same one?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh my gosh, it's the next verse. If I could count them, the thoughts, they would be more in number than the sand. Can you believe that? When I awoke, could I come to the end, I would still be with you. You know what? Can you believe? I mean, the sand, how many pieces of sand there are? And God's thoughts of every single person are good thoughts about you. And he had a plan for you. You know, maybe your parents didn't even plan. Even babies that are raped, I mean, women that are raped. You know what? There's a plan for that child. But Jeremiah 1:5, and I'll just read this. I wrote it down. Well, you can put it up if you can get up there faster. Okay. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew and approved of you as my chosen instrument. Jeremiah 1:5. This is. And before you were born, I separated and I set you apart, consecrating you, and I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Sure, he's talking to Jeremiah, but every scripture is for us. Every single scripture is for us. Okay, then in Isaiah 49:1-5, promise. What am I promising? I give everybody $100 before they walk out. No. For, okay. Verse 1. It says, listen to me, O isles and coastlands, and hearken. Listen, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb, and from the body of my mother he has named my name. Verse 5. And now says the Lord, who formed me from the womb to be a servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him and not be swept away. For I am honorable in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. I mean, go to Romans 8, 29 and 30. Romans 8, 29 and 30. But there is an assignment. There's a plan attached to your spirit. Actually, a plan attached to your spirit that you can never get away from. You know what? A lot of the guys, we were in prison ministry for 7 years, Ken and I, and many of those guys that go to prison, they honestly had a plan. God had a plan for them to be preachers. And normally they are very intelligent. You have to be pretty intelligent to escape. Yeah. Or to rob a bank. Right. Sure. See, they were never brought up right. That's right. Okay, now, 29. For those whom he foreknew, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand, he also destined from the beginning, foreordaining them to be molded into the image of his Son and share inwardly his likeness, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. See, Jesus is really our brother. Verse 30, and those whom he foreordained, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. He acquitted them, made them free, made them righteous, putting them into right standing with himself. And those whom he justified, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. Now, let me tell you something. People say, well, were you predestined? I mean, does he pick this one and pick that one not to ever be born again? No. We have free choice.
Yeah, that's right.
But actually, he knew who was going to do it.
Yeah.
He knew way from the foundations of the world. He knew you were going to receive Jesus.
Amen.
He knew that. So, but there is an assignment and a plan attached to you, and you can't get away from it. And it's the only plan that's ever going to bring fulfillment in your life. I'll tell you what, people are dissatisfied, and things happen, but it's because they're not in that plan. So ask him. You know what? It's never too late. Well, I started church when I was 54. He's already mapped it out.
Yeah.
You know,
amen.
Sometimes when certain people leave our life, we feel like it ends there. You know, that could be a death, right? Could be a divorce, or a separation because of unforgiveness or something like that. But no, God had a plan before those people came into your life. So don't let that ever stop you. It's still there, even though they don't, maybe they exited your life. Don't give up because your spouse dies. Your son, I was married twice. Well, my spouse died when I was married like, 3-4 years? And I had 2 children, 10 months old and 20 months old, 10 months apart. So, you know what? But you can... You can make it through. So don't give up that plan for any person. Find out what it is and stay with it. Now, the only way to live a good life is to walk out that path. And too many believers are just surviving. Our days are to be days of heaven on earth. And it actually says that, and that's a scripture. We're actually supposed to live heaven on earth. Can you imagine? In heaven, there's no sickness, no disease, no depression, no fights, no strife, no jealousy, no depression, oppression, none of it, none of it. But see, living apart from the plan brings negativity, negative consequences in your life. And if you're not fulfilling God's plan, even your faith doesn't work. So, you know what? If you can find, and it's, like I said, it's never too late. You'd be in your 50s and still do the plan. 60s, I don't care. See, so, but you have to protect that plan for your life. And you do that by guarding your heart and being obedient to His Word, but getting in the Word. You get in the Word. That same thing we were taught, be a, you know, a shining light.
Yes.
You know, make people thirsty. Remember on the road to Damascus when Paul, his name was Saul then, he was killing Christians in the book of Acts. He was separating families. He would tear the kids away like Hitler did. And he would put them in prison and even kill them. Just think, Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. So, see, on the road to Damascus, Jesus, you know, lightning struck him on a horse. He fell down. He heard God's voice. And Jesus told Paul, it is dangerous and it will turn out badly for you to keep kicking against and called the goad. And in fact, that means to offer vain and perilous resistance to the plan of God for your life. It's dangerous. It's actually dangerous. Somebody said to me, why don't you kind of like just retire or get, because I'm 81 years old. Man, I started too late and I don't want to. I want to keep going. Okay, this is what I told them. It was somebody, a member of my family. And I said, I would be dead next week because I would be out of the plan of God. You would. I mean, the enemy would come in and go, yeah, goody. We'll get rid of him. You know? So see, you can get, and that's another thing though, you can get off course and not know it. You can start to adopt, you know, even in a ministry or church, you can start to adopt other people's methods or plans, you know what, or adopt your own plan because you are listening to others, but you cannot enter new direction lightly. Depression means many times that you have lost view of God's plan. Well, I don't want to keep you forever here, but see, a focused person walks right on top of all the attacks, all the opposition. In 2012, I was diagnosed with cancer of the breast. Thought, I'm overcoming this because I am not stopping this plan.
Amen.
And I did.
Yeah.
It's gone. Have been diagnosed with all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not, well, you know, hip replacement, you know, you got osteoporosis and all your bones, blah, 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 blah. And I was a RN. And I was even married to a doctor and he died, you know.
So,
but you can learn to overcome all those oppositions. Things happen continuously. And you have to maintain your joy. You have to keep, and I don't always maintain it. Sometimes you want to just cry and give up. But there is a way in God, and I've seen it.
Amen.
You know? So you can get up when you're depressed and tears are running down your eyes and dance on the devil's head. Overcome it. So, see, don't let other people hinder you either. And don't get occupied with unimportant things. Put the earthly, worldly, temporal stuff behind you. You know, there was a song, I know this pastor's wife in Iowa made up, and it, fix your gaze, keep fixing your gaze. It that's from Colossians 3:1-3. If you have been resurrected with Christ, set your affection, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you are dead. Actually says you're dead. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. But I can tell you something, it's not for the faint-hearted. Okay, so good churchgoer for all those years, almost 40 years. But it was boring. And I knew there was more. And our own daughter, who is now 57, is she 58 or 57, I don't know. It's like, yeah, our son right there is 51, right? 53. It's Mike, your brother. I'm losing track. He's 53 already. I mean, you did. Oh my gosh. Anyway. But you know, you could be a world changer. Now, since it's late, this is all I'm going to say about this, though. The one thing when you become a Christian, it is so important, and some people still aren't doing it. They've been Christians longer than we have. Yeah. You know, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Now, I want to tell you something. There's three levels of God's will for you. Three levels. And I'll give you those real quick, and then we'll expound on them next week. But this I want to tell you, Romans 12. You are a spirit being. You have a soul. Your soul and spirit are not the same thing. In some places in the Bible, they are in the Old Testament. But basically, you're not. You have a soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you live in a body, which is an earth suit, so you can walk on the earth. That's all it is. It's going to go to the grave. Your soul and your spirit are going to go to heaven or hell when you die. Okay, your soul's made up of your mind, will, and emotions. If you've been programmed for 40 years like we were in the world system, you have got to undo some stuff. You got to reprogram your computer up here. But see, that thing goes down into here. Okay. So, first of all, I do want to read verse 1, though. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren. Got it up there. And just think it. Beg of you. Beg of you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your body. Folks, that's huge. One day we talked about this on a Wednesday night. It's huge. Your body has to stay in the earth in order to preach the gospel, in order to continue living. Take care of it. It's the only one you got. Because if you don't take care of it, you'll die and the devil will be happy because he got rid of you. Do you see? It's important. Sometimes it's important what you eat, and what you drink, what you do. See, yeah, but I mean your body itself. See, presenting all your members and all your faculties, all the members of your body, my hands, my fingers, my legs, my toes, the whole thing, all the members of your body as a living sacrifice. Holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God. You're actually supposed to do that, which is a reasonable service. It's a service to God. It's actual spiritual worship to God. Doing that with your body. Because, you know, I got to thinking, if I don't take care of my body in some ways, I'm there, it's going to be gone. And I can't fulfill it. All right, but now, This is what you really got to do when you get born again. Do not be conformed to this world or this age. Don't be fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial, fake customs. But be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind. How do you do that? You do it by the Word of God. By its new ideals and its new attitude. So that you can prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for me. See, I didn't know what it was until when we got born again, I went, I got spirit filled right away in the bathtub, never ever hearing about it in my entire life, never heard of such a thing. And I was taking a bubble bath, got away from my four kids. They were all little then. You know, that was 1980, 79. And I got filled because I was singing to God out of my spirit because I loved Him. Because you have to be real. We're not playing religion and pretending like we're, ooh, I'm so spiritual. You got to be real. But get intimate with God. Talk to Him. Talk to Him in an intimate way. It doesn't have to be, oh, God. You know what? Talk to Him. God, I really want to know what your plan is. I even said that to Him last night. If there's more, God, I want to fulfill it. I want to do what God wants me to do or whatever, or to change. Now, let me tell you this. Don't be conformed to this world. Conformed means don't act according to the world. Don't be in agreement with the world. Don't be similar to the world or adjust to or accommodate or be obedient to the world system. Don't be submissive to the world. To be honest with you, when this whole thing came a year ago, last March, the first words out of my mouth was, this is a plot from the devil, and they're trying to control us. And by this time, we know. But people, see, you can't. I was little. I remember hiding during World War II with my parents. I was born in 1940. I remember that, and I remember hearing about communism and how horrible it was and how controlling it was. But anyway, that's beside the point. See, when your spirit's alive, you're going to know those things. Amen. You know immediately, this is not right. Something's wrong here. This is right. No. See, they're still trying to control. Still trying to. Okay. So, anyway, three levels of God. There is the good, acceptable. Well, there's three levels you can walk in. And you may go from one level to the other. There's the good will of God, and that means you get born again. Then there's the acceptable or permissive. And that's what the Old Testament, not the New Testament, Saul did, and Samuel. And then there is the perfect will of God. But God is a loving God, and He'll never force you to do anything. And sometimes you'll get into the permissive will of God. Amen. But you'll never be satisfied. Yeah. It's hard to go higher. And the only way you can do that is to keep full. And you know what, that I'm going to quit. Yeah, okay. It's extremely important for you to get into the Word. That was another thing I saw when we were in prison ministry. I could have cried. We tell the prisoners, read the Bible. And they said, I don't know how to read. See, there was a dumbing down of kids. And then nobody cared if they just passed them through to the 12th grade. And they didn't know how to read. So many people don't know how to read. No, because they didn't make them. And that where you can't read this. And that was the whole point behind that. But you know what? You can still get that.
Yeah.
You can still get that.
Amen.
I mean, I taught kindergartners how to read.
Yeah.
I'll teach you how to read. I mean, anything for you to read the Bible. Or like Smith Wigglesworth, he didn't know how to read, and he became so into God and so intimate with God that he could read, but he could read the Bible, but he could, well, he'd take a newspaper and he couldn't read it. That's a true story. Isn't that something? Anyway, but still, he couldn't even read it. Okay, I'm going to let you go. It's too much. Too much is too much. Amen. Hallelujah. So, we are going to maybe continue on that if the Holy Ghost lets us. You know what? I still feel led to do this, though. If anybody needs prayer, I'm just going to ask you to come up here. If you need healing in your body, if you need be filled with the Spirit, if you need anything today, if you're discouraged. Okay, so, well, I'll go ahead and put on that, it is your love. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, whatever you want to do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Oh, boy. It's a good thing I asked. I just felt so led to ask. So that's God. You know what? I need a breath of him. I need one of those old toys. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead. You can play it. Or whatever I had written there. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want to actually play Open the Eyes. The reason I do is because it engages the crowd to sing. And otherwise, people sit and it can actually inhibit what's going on up here. So, go ahead. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Eyes of my heart, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see.
That was the power of God. That not me.
Open the eyes of my heart. Open the
eyes of my heart. I want to see.
I want to see.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the Open the eyes. I want to see you.
I want to see you.
Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes.
I want to see you. In your presence, oh God.
Glory. Okay. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you for staying this long. And it, I mean, we got to do what God wants. So, and so you are dismissed.